Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. It is a great day for New Life. Friday, a lot of guys are getting some help at Every Man's Battle. And, you know, if you are interested, maybe you're starting that journey, understanding a life of sexual integrity, we can get a copy of the new book, the 20th anniversary book, in your hands for a gift of any amount. Now, here's a gift. Alice Benton is with us here today. Alice, how you doing?
Well, Steve, I get so excited about Every Man's Battle because of what it does for the children of these men. Because
yes,
when
that's true.
It goes on, when sexual addiction or pornography use goes untreated, the children are so likely to repeat the pattern, either as perpetrators or they get into relationships and marriages where they're victims of their spouse doing what the offending parent had done. So the men that are willing to go to this weekend in a spiritual way as well, it breaks that cycle and it frees the next generation from the likelihood of repeating the pattern. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful thing to do for your children.
It really does. And, you know, one of the worst things, I think, is that the separation that occurs, just the disconnection that occurs when pornography is there. And, of course, you know, my wife facilitates a group for women with sexual integrity problems, too. And it's not just a male problem, but we see so many men, really, that could be such great dads, great husbands, but they literally can't stop this. And so they justify it, try to minimize it, and it impacts everything. But just as it impacts everything when you have the problem, it impacts everything when you decide to get over it and recover from it. So Every Man's Battle, we got one coming up next month. Just because we have one today doesn't mean we don't have one next month. We do. You sign up, get involved. It really could change everything. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Well, let's go to Lisa from Sterling, Virginia. WAVA is the station. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Fine. Thank you very much for taking my call. I am a partner with your ministry for some time.
I learned
a lot about your ministry, and thank you so much. I learned quite a bit.
Thank you. What's going on?
My question is, I'm the grandmother of a paternal, my son's son, they are four siblings. He's the eldest, and he has got diagnosis of bipolar, and he was an drug addict, and he was in a rehab. He's doing fine now.
Okay.
He lives in a different state, and he was working full-time, and the parents were helping him to some extent. Now he has come to a conclusion that he wants to be a psychologist, and his parents were out of the country for vacation, and during that time he called me whether I can help him to get this credits for his college. All his three siblings are college graduates, and he feels terrible, inadequate, and his self-esteem is very low.
Right.
And I think there is some dysfunctional family because his father is a very, very successful man in the medical field. And this boy is a first child. I don't think they did a good parenting, and there was some favoritism. The other three children are doing fine.
Hold on, and we'll right after this break, we'll find out what is the big dilemma. Dave Stoop will be joining us. Really glad that you called us. Glad you're listening. If you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's the 800 number. People are there. They got up this morning wanting you, waiting for you to call. They want to change lives. It begins with 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Glad you're with us here today. And so we're talking about, sounds like Lisa's grandson's getting his act together. What is the problem, Lisa, with him wanting to get his degree and all?
Okay. He wanted to take some credit, so he cannot work full-time and go to school. So I said, I will help him out for the next 4 months. But he doesn't want to tell his parents, and at that time I agreed that, it's okay, I don't want to say it. You tell him if they want to. So what happened is now I'm a believer, and they are not non-believers. So my question is, I'm having a lot of problem with my conscience because I have a very good relationship with my son, you know. Mm-hmm. So now I'm hiding something from my son for the sake of my grandson. And
right.
So I'm torn between my grandson and my son.
Yes, I hear you. Okay. I'll tell you my thought.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. What's the question?
So I was just thinking how to rectify this because the father and the son, they don't get along well. They don't see eye to eye. And he there was some favoritism in the, you know, the four siblings, and he was the eldest one. He always felt that he was neglected.
Okay.
So here I am, the grandmother, who wants to help him with all my heart. But
sure.
The parents don't want to do it because he went to school twice and he dropped out. So they think that he cannot be a psychologist. You just don't work. And I feel that he has to try.
Okay. So when you say his father and how he feels, and then you say the parents. So this boy's mother, your daughter-in-law, he agrees with the dad there about all of this? They're on the same page with him?
Yeah, the father, the both the parents are very, you know, very good marriage for the past 30 years now. The problem is he's very close to his mother, but he's completely distant from his father.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my two cents on something like this is that you have to tell the grandson that you really are in a difficult place. You want to support him, but it can't be a secret anymore. And so you tell him, I'm going to have to share this with your dad. Mm. And so then you go to the dad and you say, when you guys were gone, here's what happened. Here's the decision that I made. And it's going pretty well. And I'm just going to ask you to try to understand the heart of a grandmother, and forgive me for, you know, not telling you sooner, but I love you and I care about you, and I want to try to make this right in whatever way that I can. And you have to kind of be willing. I don't know what'll happen then, but hopefully, if you have a humble heart and you're open about it, hopefully they'll see how you were acting in the best interest of somebody, and it was a tough place, and you did the best you could. Alice, what are your thoughts here when you hear the bind that she's in? What do you think she should do?
Well, I agree with your approach because, Lisa, to clear your conscience, I think Steve is right. It doesn't help you to keep this secret. But it does sound like there's a risk in telling. What are you and your grandson most afraid will happen if the parents find out you're assisting him?
He feels that the father may say, may not like this idea because he was dropped out twice. And they said, we don't want to spend any more money for your college education. So if you want to do it, you do it by yourself. But he can't do it by himself by doing the full-time job. He's 29 years old. And
Lisa, he's afraid that the parents will try to make you stop helping him?
He cannot stop me because my son will not do that.
Okay. Then, Lisa, the only additions I would give to what Steve advised would be to apologize to your grandson that you've changed your mind because he thought you would keep this a secret. You did too. So apologize. And you might also offer either you tell or I will tell, but I just can't keep this a secret. But if you want to be the first to tell your parents, you could. And if you don't, I need to clear my conscience. But I will keep helping you. Give him that reassurance. I will keep helping you.
Yes.
And when you tell the grandson that you have to do this, it's really a very pure motive that your conscience won't let you keep it a secret anymore. Yeah. That is an honorable motive, and so you're just asking him to understand. He may not, but I think the next right thing is to clear that conscience right up there. Okay.
You think I should? I can take my son to your dinner or something, and slowly tell him. But I
think that'd be
a
great idea.
My grandson.
Well, I wouldn't get permission from the grandson. I would just tell the grandson you feel you have to do this now, even though you said you wouldn't, because your conscience is really bothering you, and you're hoping for a really good outcome that everybody can see good things ahead. For him getting the education. And I'm glad you called us. And I'm going to send you a little copy of this book, Take Your Life Back, and I think it'll be a great one. All right. Really glad and hoping and praying that something good will come out of that. All right. Let's go to how about we talk with Ron from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Ron, how are you doing?
He just turned out. Can you hear me okay now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I didn't have any background noise going on. I'm driving, so.
Okay.
Anyway, I just had a question for you guys. I got a text in with the show. I've been listening to your show for quite a while. And I had a question regarding my relationship with my wife. She's what I would say a practicing alcoholic, and I'm in recovery and have been for about 7 years or so. My question for you guys is, what would be, not necessarily what would be the next step, but what would your opinion be in my pursuit? It's a second marriage for both of us, and we have a bunch of baggage, and by the grace of God, she is willing to attend counseling. However, she has suggested we get a divorce, and she has retained an attorney. This was back last summer, but really hasn't followed through with it. I've said, if you want to file for a divorce, that's up to you, but I'm not going to respond to your attorney unless they serve me papers. We have a 5-year-old child. We're both older parents. We attended the Intimacy and Marriage Conference in Dallas a year ago, and it seemed like it was going well for a little bit, but when she's asked to sort of confront any of her own stuff, she's not really willing to look at it. And I stepped up a little bit, a little over a year ago, just bear with me for one second, I stepped up a little over a year ago on Henry Cloud's advice, suggesting that if she's not participating in the marriage, that I'm not going to participate in maybe, in other words, I'm like the enabler, a caretaker, and she's in denial about the situation. So, as I said, we're in counseling. I just am wondering how to pursue that. We have this 5-year-old. We still live in the same house. I basically make all the payments. So it's just challenging.
Okay, so the question I have is, did you say she is a practicing alcoholic?
Well, in other words, I'm not, when I say that, I'm not a psychotherapist or psychologist, but I have a lot of experience and done a lot of work in not only personal growth, but recovery myself. And so her day-to-day routine is always having booze in the house, always having it met with rage if there's, you know, if there's any sort of confrontation on it. Spin cycle, you know, the whole bit. I've read your series on the narcissistic stuff, and you know,
well,
she's
sounds
got
like
a lot of issues herself.
Yeah. Okay. So
she's older.
Are you guys
died last year? So she's grieving that.
Okay. Are you guys going to counseling together? Are you going to counseling together?
We are
still.
We are going to counseling, and so I've got to learn to be a better listener. And to what happens is, you know, based on my train wreck past, I have a tendency to respond in a defensive manner, trying to get her to look at her own stuff. And that's what happened at the marriage intensive.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
we're in the group.
There's all sorts of problems here. Let me let Dave and Alice wade into it. Who wants to go first?
Well, I think every recovering alcoholic can benefit from going to Al-Anon, because every recovering alcoholic is codependent. And you're trying to change her, and you know better than that because of what you learned in your own program.
Right.
And so somehow you've got to bow out of that and begin to look at ways to rebuild the relationship, things that you learned at the intimacy workshop and things that your counselor is trying to get you to do. And really go all out for it. Don't just do it half-heartedly, and don't worry about her changing. Maybe her drinking may be a reaction to the life situation and the only way she can handle what's going on.
And before Alice, Ron, I think another area of recovery for you is to try to recover your heart a little bit. In other words, when a woman says, you know, I want a divorce, and the response is, well, I'm not going to do it until you file, versus, honey, I would hate for us to be divorced and miss the life that we could develop together if we were both, you know, committed as we have been and willing to work, and I'm willing to work, and, you know, there's a more heartful response here.
It's not a tit for tat.
I really feel like you're wanting to control her, push her, and you probably know this, but the more you push a person to change, the more they dig in their heels and try to protect their territory. Alice, what are you thinking here to help?
Well, Ron, I'm pretty concerned about your 5-year-old. If your wife has alcohol in the home all the time, depending on how much she's drinking it, but she's also raging, I'm worried what's happening to the 5-year-old and what he's being exposed to. Mm-hmm. So I really encourage you to talk to your therapist to determine if he's safe with what she's doing, because you may need to determine if she won't go into further recovery for the alcoholism. You might have to take steps to protect your son from her rage and maybe neglect or alcohol use. But you did something very humble here. You pointed out that you could be a better listener. And I think you're right. I think you have use a lot of words. And you may talk about your recovery a lot in a way that comes across to your wife that you're so much better than she is, or so much farther along. I don't think that's your intention, but I think that's how she might take it. So I think it would benefit you if you would go home today and say, I know this about myself. I realized it again today. I'm pretty talkative. I don't listen well enough to you, and maybe I'm lording my recovery over you. How does that affect you? Would you tell me how that makes you feel when I do those two things? And just listen to her. It might lower her defenses a little bit, Ron.
Might. It's minimizing it. It probably would lower defenses. Might see a miracle begin to happen.
Yeah, I think one of the tough things is when somebody's a big target and they're 70% of the problem, it's hard for us to go take care of our 30%. But that's what we're encouraging here. And I hope something we've said here is good. And, you know, let me send you this. I've got a 7-minute marriage devotional Bible. I'm going to send it to you, and I hope you guys could get in there together. I think being open and honest in counseling, make that little boy a priority here. We don't want him to be in danger. You're listening to New Life Live, and if you need some help, never easy to humble yourself. But the Bible says if we can humble ourselves, it is the Lord that will lift us up. What a great thing when we are lifted up by God to a new place we never, ever dreamed we could be. That's what God wants to do, and it can begin with the humble step of asking for help. Please do it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll go to Yvonne right after this. You are listening to New Life Live.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Glad you're with us. And as I said, we're going to go right to Yvonne and see what she has to say. And Yvonne, how you doing today? I think Terry's going to have to click Yvonne on here. Yvonne, are you with us?
Hello.
Hi. How can we help?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi. I'm calling today because I have some questions about marijuana addiction. I have a family member. One of my kids is really struggling with marijuana addiction to an extreme degree. She's been trying and trying and trying to quit. There's been some mental effects that we've seen.
What are those? What are the mental effects you've seen?
Intense anxiety and withdrawal with social anxiety. I don't know if it's related, but she has nightly nightmares about the same thing mm-hmm. for quite a long time. And she's not thinking right. The thought process says that just aren't right. And the depression, I was just wondering about can brains get damaged from this and the underlying medical issues that might be, you know, she's self-medicating. She's getting help currently, but it's been pretty extreme. The intense ramifications of this addiction.
Yvonne, what kind of help? What kind of help is
on it?
Yvonne, what kind of help is she receiving?
She just is going to a day program that's for 2 weeks. And I was just, wondering what are the most effective steps of overcoming marijuana, and how can we as a family help her and also have boundaries? Because I feel that I definitely have problems with enabling and all in the name of love.
Okay.
You don't hear too much about a marijuana addiction when people call in, it doesn't seem, but thank you.
Well, they try to say it's not addictive.
Right.
This person is certainly proving that that's not true.
Quick question for you. What hours does she go to her program?
8:30 to 4, Monday through Friday, and then half days on Saturday and Sunday.
Is she going to any kind of recovery meeting in the evenings?
Well, she's looked them up, but she hasn't yet. We have in the past gone to, a few with her.
Okay, so she hasn't been able to stop, right?
No. Well, she stopped a couple years ago for about 5 months, and then
she hasn't been able to stay stopped. She hasn't been able to stay stopped. She's struggling with it. That's what you were telling us, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here's what you can do. You can write this down. Number one, you go with her to recovery meetings at least 3 evenings a week. Because nothing she's done has helped, and it's gotten worse, and the program's only 2 weeks. So you want to help her get into the habit immediately, like starting tonight, to go to meetings. That's how people stay off of this, is they go to meetings. And then you need to go to Al-Anon meetings yourself, and she needs to know you're going to your own meetings because she's not been able to stay off of this, and you haven't been able to help her, and you want to deal with all of the enabling. She needs to understand the rules when she gets out of that program. She needs to know she can't stay there if she relapses. But if she's going to recover, you'll give her all the support you possibly can. You need to have a plan from the treatment program for her to stay free of marijuana, and you need to know that plan, and you need to think it's a great plan and agree with it. Dave, Alice, any thoughts you have on how she can help her stay off of marijuana?
Well, one thing I'm thinking as you're talking is this is a serious problem. It's not a light problem, and it's made light of in our culture as if it's not a problem. But the marijuana of today is so many times more potent than what it was at Woodstock that it's not easy to get off, and she's proof of that. And you can't, 3 meetings a week is probably minimum for your daughter.
True.
You probably should be 4 or 5, because if she's serious about getting off, that's what's going to happen.
And just the fact that she only looked up the meetings but has not gone to a meeting in the evening, that should be concerning, and that might be something that you'd want to talk with the people at the treatment program about, but certainly talk to her. You're concerned that she's not willing to put everything she's got into recovery. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible for her. Alice, you had a thought there?
Send her that book about loving somebody that's alcohol or...
Understanding and loving a person with chemical dependency. We'll do that.
And psychiatric intervention might be needed, too, to treat the anxiety and the depression.
Yeah.
And it does affect the brain. If you stop it soon enough,
yep,
it can be reversed.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's talk with Laura, Santa Rosa, California. How you doing, Laura? KFAX is the station.
Hey. Yeah, hey, Steve, this is Laura. Thank you so much for taking my call today.
Yep.
I'm actually calling regarding a sensitive topic. It certainly has impacted my extended family and very close friends. So I decided to go ahead and call and just ask a few questions about it. Several weeks ago, you had a conversation on your program with a gentleman named Nick, and he was looking for a wife. And you asked him, well, Nick, what is it that's important to you? What are you looking for? And he said, well, you know, I'd like to marry a committed Christian. I would really like her to be a virgin. I'd like for her to not be divorced. And he was young. He had never been married before. And, you know, your response to him at that time was, well, you know, Nick, you need to consider, you know, divorced people. There's a lot of great folks out there who are divorced, and people grow through life, and you need to consider divorced people as well. And my question today is when, and so I'm in earnest just about guidelines and what God's word actually does say about the topic. And when you read Romans 7, chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, and then you read 1 Corinthians 7, both of them clearly state that the a person is free to remarry when their spouse has died. That's very clear, and it says if that person remarries someone else and their spouse is still living, that they actually commit adultery. And we talk a lot in Christian circles about fornication, living together, and how all of that is wrong.
Yeah.
But we never seem to address these two passages of Scripture to guide, to literally guide and direct our decision-making. And my one thought is this, that if people were married and really did understand the gravity of those passages and what it teaches, I think they would fight so much harder for their marriage, realizing on the other side that the option to just go freely marry somebody else actually isn't found anywhere in Scripture.
Well, Laura, let me talk now, okay?
Yeah.
So, I heard what you said. There's one other Scripture that says this, and these are the words of Jesus, Matthew 19:9. And I tell you this, whoever divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery, unless his wife has been unfaithful. Now,
and that is the exception. I agree with that, Steve.
So, what we teach here is that a person who's, there's one other exception that's mentioned about a non-believer abandoning the person, and then here. And so that's what the Bible says, and that's what we believe in. And so I would say that there are people that should really take a second look at whether or not they are free to marry. Now, the other thing that we have to take into consideration is that divorce is not the unpardonable sin either. And the past couple of shows, I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
And so I think if you are not free to remarry because you don't follow those exceptions, I think absolutely it would be better if you did not remarry when you, in an act of it receiving God's mercy and grace, marry outside of that. I just think there are all sorts of reasons that could present problems for you that you never imagined. And so we want to do exactly what Scripture says. We shouldn't divorce somebody if the exceptions aren't there. But some people get divorced. You know, the person divorces them. They were unfaithful, and then the unfaithful person divorces them. And so I think that person is absolutely free to marry. There are some ministries that teach, no, that's not even free to remarry, and they encourage anybody that's married someone that was divorced to divorce and remarry the original person or not marry. And that's not our position here.
No.
So all of this is really, really tricky, you could say. And we want to be true to Scripture, but we also don't want to put a burden, and this is something Jesus hated, to put a burden on people that shouldn't be there. So sometimes I don't say everything that needs to be said, and if I said everything every time that needs to be said, I would have said there are some divorced people who have been divorced that are absolutely free to remarry. They married somebody and there was a flip. I've seen it happen over and over. The person was unfaithful and then left for the other person, and there they are. That'd be somebody you'd want to consider marrying, I think, versus, oh, they've been married I can't even think about having a date with him. That was the thing I was trying to get across. But I didn't say it very well.
Yeah, I think just because he was so young and had never been married before, I would have thought there would have been an earnest encouragement to pursue an opportunity with someone who had never married before.
Oh, I think that's always the general guideline. Yeah, that is a good thing. But also, I just know I have a niece that I'm telling you, she's one of the most amazing people in the world. And it would have been a mistake for somebody once her husband was unfaithful and left her. What a mistake it would have been for someone not to even consider because she was divorced. Because I'm telling you, she's one of the most godly, wonderful, caring, giving people in this universe. So that's my main point there.
Yeah,
go out and find somebody that's divorced and marry. It was just, well, don't eliminate everybody. Look at each situation and handle each person personally. I think our theologies, actually, Laura, would be pretty lined up, even though from time to time my phone call or my answers don't focus totally on all of the issues. That would be a little bit better answer or more clear. Let me send you a Restoration Bible there, just our way of saying thanks for calling us. All right, let's go to, hold on just a second. Let's talk to Kathy from Des Moines, Iowa. Iowa's been in the headlines recently there, Kathy. How are you doing today?
You betcha. Doing great. Was at caucuses last night and did my thing for the country.
Good for you.
I'm so excited to talk to you guys today. Mm-hmm. It's so exciting. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
What's going on?
My question is that my father, in all his wonderful encouragement, has said, you're too old to go get a counseling degree and to go on and start up a practice because I really feel like my community needs more mental health in a good way.
How old are you?
And my husband, I'm 57.
And a counseling degree would probably take, let's say on the outset, to get all set up, let's say, what do you think, Alice, 5 years?
Yep, I was thinking 4 to 6.
So in 5 years, you're going to be 62, whether you get a counseling degree or not. I'd rather be 62 with a counseling degree.
Well, that's true.
You're probably only going to have, you'll probably have 20 years, if you keep going like you are, 20 years to practice, and that's kind of a career. I want to encourage you to do it.
That's a good run.
I join you.
That's good. Well, when you guys had John Townsend in and the Townsend Institute, I went ahead and got and contacted them, and then I haven't responded because my dad kind of put the kibosh on it. But yeah, I am 57, so while his input is fine, it is not vital. Another question I had then was, how much of your own life garbage do you have to have solved in order to be a counselor?
You have to understand it. You don't have to solve it.
Yeah,
you have to understand.
Have to have
it.
Insight into it and how it impacts your daily life,
and be willing to keep working on it. Some of the wisest people that I studied with in my programs, they were in their second or even third career, and they brought so much life wisdom to our studies that they were leagues ahead of some of the rest of us who were younger in the program. But your knowledge that you're broken and your willingness to get help is what will really put you in a different category as a counselor, because a lot of us cannot see our own brokenness.
Yeah. All right, got to go to a break. Hold on, we'll be back right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. Glad you are.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we'll send Kathy Restoration Bible to help her right along there with all that she's doing. And Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio, and we'll take one more call after him. Larry.
Steve.
You have a testimony.
Let's I do. You know, we do a lot of every man's battle testimonies, and I thought we got to give the women some equal time because we got a Restore workshop coming up here in just a couple weeks.
Yeah.
This lady says, it's been so incredibly validating to hear God's truth on my situation and to be encouraged by strong, brave, and courageous godly women. I now know that it's okay to have the feelings I do. It's okay to take as long as I need to heal. It's not only okay, but imperative that I have a voice to make my needs known. This whole weekend was beautifully contrary to what you so often hear from the Christian community. Thank you for bringing God's truth to me. And wow. I just thought, wow. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what you are supporting when you support New Life. You're supporting somebody hearing the truth, hearing some validation from godly people, getting connected into redemptive relationships. And if that tickles your giving bone, would you please make a gift? We need it. And we'd love for you to join Club New Life. We'd love for you to make an individual gift. It's just a blessing. You'll be blessed when you give, let alone the people who will benefit, because their life will be forever different.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason,
please help us.
Yeah, for that reason, please give us a call.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Send you a copy of the 20th Anniversary Life Recovery Bible. And don't forget about Club New Life. You can really, really help this ministry, $30 a month, by joining Club New Life and being one of our regular supporters. The phone number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right. Thank you, Larry. Let's go to Esther, Fairfield, California. Wish I could get to the other calls. KFIA is the station. Hi, Esther. How you doing?
Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to see if there was any local counselors or books I can read on anxiety and how to overcome this naturally.
What's going on?
Dealing with this. So, I have a hard time trusting, and I recently came down with some weird neurological issues where my limbs will go numb or they start to tingle. They get like burning. And so doctors are saying it sounds very close to small fiber neuropathy, but they're like, we don't know where it came from. Another doctor said, no, you don't have any kind of neuropathy. This is all psychosomatic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
He just
said, you're doing this to yourself.
Okay. So what did they prescribe for you? What did they tell you to do?
They told me to go on anti-anxiety medicine. I tried it once. I didn't seem to feel any different, and other than my mood. But everything in my body was still having these flare-ups. So I went off of it, and they tapered me off. And now they're saying, you need to go back on it. You're too anxious. And I said, I don't trust you guys. And partly is because I saw my father for 10 years decline under medical care. There was no... It just kept pumping medicine into him until he... finally died. And in that time,
what kind of problem did your father have?
He was diabetic. Closer to the end, he didn't speak any English, so I had to translate a lot of it, and I saw his decline. I saw a lot of the complaints, and honestly, I sound like him. I don't have diabetes. But a lot of the complaints are there. The stomach issues, hands, all of a sudden it gets hot and it gets cold, forgetfulness, and I'm thinking, how did I get here?
Okay, so let's hear Alice give you her thoughts as she hears your trouble.
Esther, just hearing about the loss of your father and the hopelessness you probably felt watching his decline and, you know, an inability to intervene or help him much, I would just imagine you have a great deal of grief from just that, and it's only one part of what you have been through in your life. I'm sad to hear the doctor say it's psychosomatic, you're just doing it to yourself. Because whatever these symptoms are that you're feeling, you're certainly not intentionally producing them. But stress and grief that is pushed down or held back, it can cause some very mind-boggling symptoms in our body that don't make sense to the medical community. My biggest hope for you would that you would be in a structured process of being able to talk through your stories, the loss of your father, and the other difficult things that you've been through in your life, but it would have to be with someone you trust. I understand your distrust of the medical field, and I think talk therapy or therapy for traumatic loss would go a long way for you.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing, Esther, that I fear for you is that you might not accept some help from some caring individuals that know what they're talking about just because your father got help from a different form of medicine from people that, you know, maybe didn't take everything into consideration. And so I don't want his lack of care or malpractice to prevent you from moving forward. And, you know, here's the thing. When you take anti-anxiety medication, you're able to trust people a little bit better, but you don't trust them. And so if you don't trust them and take the medication, then you never get to experience that benefit to where maybe you just need it a little while and then things adjust and you can get off of it. Dave, any thoughts here from you that might help her?
Finding a counselor that you can trust. That's the nature of a counselor's business, is to be trustworthy. And to take your time. Anxiety can be dealt with through talk therapy, as Alice is saying, and getting started in that and staying with it, you will find the benefits will come gradually, but they will come for certain.
Yeah. There are supplements. You know, some people talk about 5-HTP as being a great supplement. Exercise is probably the greatest non-medicine that you can do for every kind of ailment. There's just nothing much other than a bad knee or hip from exercise. But really, that's you simply must consider how much activity am I getting, and maybe you can increase that. But oh my goodness, there are these people that care. They are Christians. They use medication. They prescribe medication if it's called for. They don't if it's not. If we can get you in touch with one of those folks and you can trust them, everything could be so, so different. All right. We really want to help you. You have to call us first, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The things that we have available for you, well, first of all, every man's battle is every month, and then we've got, well, our intimacy in marriage is sold out, but in July the 24th, we'll be in Washington, D.C. to do another one. And you could sign up now for that one and not miss your place. There is Restore. Larry mentioned a wonderful testimony from Restore on February 28th in Orange County. And then I'll be doing with Chris Williams, Finding Freedom, March the 15th. Also, if you've never been on a New Life trip, we're going to go to Europe this year, and we're going to do something we've wanted to do a long time. It's a river cruise down the Rhine River, and it's going to be full of spiritual truth. Mylon Kay, myself are going, Amsterdam, and all sorts of wonderful places, Strasbourg, France, Switzerland. Come join us. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need help or we could help you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.